And as I just said to you a few moments ago, we're going to begin a new series of studies this morning that I've titled, A Heart of Thanksgiving. And let me just, if you would, get two passages to start with. Get Ephesians chapter 6 in one hand and Philippians chapter 4 in the other. Ephesians chapter 6 in one hand and Philippians chapter 4 in the other. 2 weeks ago, folks, before the Bible conference, we concluded our series of studies on the battlefield of the mind by looking at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. And throughout that series, I mentioned in passing multiple times, and you may or may not have picked up on it or not, I mentioned in passing a few times in that series the role of thanksgiving and the role that thanksgiving plays in the battlefield of the mind. And when I'm talking about thanksgiving, I'm not talking about eating a bunch of food and turkey and watching football. I'm talking about, not that there's anything wrong with that, of course. What I'm talking about is the mindset of thanksgiving out of the Scriptures that the Apostle Paul and other biblical writers talk about. So we didn't stop and talk about thanksgiving during the series of studies on the battlefield of the mind. And the reason we didn't is I didn't want the study to get bogged down and for you to become confused or somehow maybe unsure about where we were going with it or what we were doing. So what I decided to do was sort of put it off until we were done with that and sort of take it up as a secondary issue after the Bible conference. So between now and roughly the week of Thanksgiving, I want to do a few studies here looking at some things from the Word of God with respect to the issue of Thanksgiving. As I was studying for this and preparing for this, thinking about it throughout the week, reading the Bible, looking at different things and so on, one of the things that came up in my thinking a lot was I think that we generally, even as believers, have far too much of a commercialized, media-driven understanding or thinking about Thanksgiving. And what I mean by that is it's almost as if the Thanksgiving holiday season comes up and it's sort of like you feel guilty if you don't, you know, recognize what you're thankful for, and then it passes and the rest of the year you just sort of forget about it, okay? And I think that if we're all honest with ourselves, I think we'd all admit that that's somewhat of a reality in all of our lives. And what you learn, though, about Thanksgiving from the Word of God is not that it is just a seasonal issue or a passing issue, but it should be like a lot of these other things we've been talking about recently. It should be a life issue. It should be a manner of life. It should be a heart expression as far as your relationship with God is concerned. And I want you to just think about a few verses to get started with that we ended up with in our last series on the issue of the battlefield of mind. So if you would, get Ephesians 6 first. Get Ephesians chapter 6 and look with me at verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Notice what he says here. He says, praying how often? Always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. According to that verse, how often are you supposed to be praying? Always. We went over this before, right? The idea of praying without ceasing. The idea of a life of constant, continual prayer and how that challenges our everyday constructural understanding of what we think prayer is and how prayer functions. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Go to Philippians chapter 4 and look at verse 6. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, Ephesians 6, verse 18. How often does Ephesians 6, verse 18 tell you to pray? Always. Okay? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says that you and I as believers, we are to be careful for nothing, but in everything, we talked about what that meant, that's everything, anything in your life, by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. So if you put that together, Ephesians 6 is telling you to pray how often? Always. Philippians chapter 4 is telling you that when you pray, as a member of the Church of the Body of Christ, that you should pray in verse 6, by all prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So if you're to pray always, and when you pray and make supplication, you're also to include within that what? Thanksgiving. So that means thanksgiving The idea of thanksgiving should be just as much a part of your daily life as that prayer is. Okay? So the idea of giving thanksgiving is not something that we do, you know, a few weeks out of the year at holidays or, you know, whatever. It's to be in every bit as much a part of your daily life and routine and understanding as a believer as prayer itself. Because when we pray, when we make supplication, when we make our requests made known unto God, we are to be doing it with what? Thanksgiving. Come with me, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I think that this passage here ties this together perfectly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse 17. He says, pray without what? So pray without ceasing. The cross reference for that would obviously be Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Praying how often? Always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and so on, okay? So he says in verse 17, pray without ceasing. So that's the idea of always continual praying and so on. But now watch verse 18. In everything, what? Give thanks. So think with me. Verse 17 tells you to pray how often? Without ceasing. Philippians chapter 4 tells you that when you pray and make requests and supplication to the Father, you should do it with what? Thanksgiving. And now you have verse 18 following right on the heels here of verse 17, and he says, in everything give thanks, for this is what? The will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Folks, if you ever wanted to know what God's will for you was, there it is. You don't got to go wandering around and groping around in the dark trying to figure out, trying to read the tea leaves and the signs and the inward hunches and impressions to try to figure out what God's will for you is. His Word just told you what His will is. And His will is that you and I, in everything, give what? Thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning who? You. That's me, that's you, that's every member of the church, the body of Christ. Okay? So in verse 17, you have the instruction to pray without ceasing. In verse 18, immediately following that instruction, he tells you that in everything give thanks. Please also notice, what is the first word of verse 18? In. Notice that it's not for. If it said for everything give thanks, would that be a very different instruction than in everything give thanks? Okay? There are things that are going to come into our lives that we are probably not going to be very thankful for, okay? But in the midst of that situation or that circumstance, the instruction is that we are thankful in that. He says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So here's what I want you to see in this beginning introduction to the series, at least right now. If prayer is to be continuous without ceasing, and in our instruction that are given to us by the Apostle Paul about how to pray, he says that we need to pray with thanksgiving. Then that means then that thanksgiving, if I'm to pray and make supplication and request with thanksgiving, then that means the issue of thanksgiving ought to be as close to my heart, mind, and life as the subject of prayer itself. Because when I'm instructed to pray, I'm instructed by the Apostle Paul to do it with what? Thanksgiving. I'm instructed immediately after I'm told to pray without ceasing here to in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. How often do we do that? Don't answer that. Okay? Don't answer that, because if you do, if you're going to be honest with yourself, I think you're going to have to admit, and I know I'm going to have to admit, verse 17 as well, but verse 18 tends to sometimes be a bit of a problem. We don't always do what those verses say. Okay? We don't always have the heart of thanksgiving here that the Apostle Paul is instructing us to have, and in everything give thanks. So what I want to do this morning is I want to begin looking at some of the words in the Scripture that deal with the issue of thanksgiving, and trying to understand what they mean and giving you some basic definitions and defining some terminology from the Word of God that we can then build off in the future studies over the next few weeks with respect to this subject. So I hope that, I think it's important for us as believers to give some serious thought and consideration to the issue of Thanksgiving in our own personal lives. And I hope that you'll make it a point to be here over the next few weeks so that you can understand and get an understanding from the Word of God about this subject. So let's, understanding now that we're to pray without ceasing, that prayer and supplication with thanksgiving is part of how we are to pray without ceasing, and thirdly, understanding as a conclusion of that, that that means that thanksgiving ought to be as every much a part of our daily thinking and operation in our lives as the issue of prayer itself, we want to understand now from the Word of God some things about thanksgiving. So we wanted to start defining our terms. And the first thing I want to point out to you is that there's a cluster of related words in the Word of God that are found throughout the Bible that express the notion of thanksgiving. Okay? And what I want to do is look at these words, define them, look at a few occurrences of them in the Scripture so that you can begin to build an understanding of this. Think about the word thanksgiving. Thankful. Thankfulness. And thanks. Just those four words. The root, what's the root word of all those words? It's thank. Right? It's the word, it's the single word, thank. The issue here, so let's start there, okay? The word thank occurs 27 times in 26 verses in the King James Bible. Just the word thank. That word alone, okay? This English word serves as the root word for all of the other related words. So it's critical to understand something about this word specifically. And if you look up the word thank in the Webster's 1828 dictionary, it defines it the following. It says, to express gratitude. To express gratitude for a favor. To make acknowledgments to one for kindness bestowed. So the idea is if I do something nice for you or somebody does something nice for you and you thank them, what are you doing when you thank them? You are acknowledging, you're doing exactly what the definition says. You're expressing gratitude for a favor and you're making acknowledgement of the fact that somebody just did something what? For you, nice for you, what have you, okay? So the idea of, the simple idea of thank, to thank someone is to acknowledge as a display of gratitude that somebody has done something what? For you. Let's look at a few verses. If you're with us this morning and this is your first time, the number you see in parentheses above me is the page number you will find these references on if you're using the Bible provided by the church. Come with me over to Romans chapter 1. Come over to Romans chapter 1. Now obviously look folks, if just this word occurs 27 times in 26 verses, we're not going to have time to look at every single one. Okay? But I want to look at enough of these so that you can get a basic understanding of its usage in the Word of God. Romans chapter 1, look at verse 8. Romans chapter 1 verse 8. He says, Paul's writing here to the Romans and he says in verse 8, first, now that's interesting in and of itself. He says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout what? The whole world. Now go back to verse 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the first word of verse 8? First. So after Paul addresses the Roman saints there, the first thing he does is he tells them that he thanks what? That he thanks God for them. Look at it again. Verse 8. First, I thank. Notice how thank there is singular and there's no other suffixes on the end of it. It's just the word thank. He says, for I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Now, when Paul says that he thanks God for the Romans, what he means is, think about the definition here of the word thank. To express gratitude for a favor, to make acknowledgments to one for kindness bestowed. He's not necessarily thanking them for, you know, their whatever nice things they may or may not have done for him. He's praising the Lord is essentially what he's doing for the Roman saints. When he says in verse 8, First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. He's meaning to, in a sense, extol and thank the Lord for the faith that these Roman saints have. And so we see, first of all, the use of the word thank as an expression of gratitude. Okay? Now, let's look at a few more things. Now we're just going to add an S. That's all we're going to add. And we're going to look at the word thanks. Okay? The word thanks occurs 73 times in 71 verses in the King James Bible. Okay? So you have thank, and now we have thanks. So what each one of these words is going to do is sort of build on the root word of the word thank. Okay? So that should be pretty clear to you as we work our way through this. Now, it's interesting. If you look this word up, thanks up, in the Webster's 1828 dictionary, it's generally, obviously, in the plural. If I'm going to give thanks, I may be thanking God for more than one thing, and it also implies an activity, okay? The idea of giving thanks, as we'll see in a few minutes here. But it, as an expression of gratitude, acknowledgement, may do express some sense of favor or kindness received. So, again, the definition is, generally, the word is generally used in the plural, and it deals with, again, an expression of gratitude, an acknowledgement made to express a sense of favor or kindness received. Now, is that basically, if you stop right there, is that the same definition as thank? But notice how it goes a little further, and I bolded it for you. Gratitude in the feeling or sentiment excited by kindness. So somebody comes along and they do something nice for you. They demonstrate kindness on your behalf. What that is saying is that part of thanks is that feeling of gratitude that you receive that is excited, that gives birth upon that act of kindness. Okay? So, you know, Vicky is kind and brings me candy. Okay? And I say, thanks for the candy. I'm going to take that home and eat it after a while here, okay? But what I'm saying is what? I'm saying she has, as a demonstration, without me asking for anything or what have you, decided to bring my wife and I candy. And if I say thanks, me saying, and by the way, thanks, okay? I did? Oh. All right, subliminally, okay? So, gratitude is the feeling or sentiment excited by kindness. But, and then it says, thanks are the expression of that sentiment. Okay? So, gratitude is, I'm grateful. They bought me candy and it demonstrates that they were thinking about me and what have you, and I feel grateful. Me going and saying thanks to them is an expression of that kindness that is enacted within me as a result of gratitude. And so what you should hopefully see throughout what we're going to do here this morning is that the issue of gratitude and the issue of thankfulness and thanks are going to be what? They're going to be related. They're going to be blended together in our understandings here from the Word of God. So one last time, gratitude is the feeling or sentiment excited by kindness. So you feel that sense of gratitude when somebody does something kind for you. Thanks, then, is the audible expression of the sentiment of gratitude. Okay? So, the dictionary, as you know, gives definitions using the Scripture, and one they give is in Acts 27, where it says, thanks be to God who giveth us the victory. Actually, I'm sorry, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So the idea there is thanking God for always giving you what? The victory. So as the let's go on with this. I want to look at some words here. As the dictionary indicates, thanks is a noun. Okay? And so it denotes action. It denotes action on the part of the person. The excitement, the sentiment that you feel is the gratitude. Okay? You express the gratitude that you feel through giving thanks or saying thank you and offering thanksgiving. So, when you look at this word in the Bible, we find other words associated with it, like give thanks, or gave thanks, or giving thanks. There's always an action that is attached to this expression in the Word of God. So I just want to look at a few of these. Come with me, if you would, to Psalm 106. Come over back in the Old Testament to Psalm 106. Psalm 106. Verse 1. So there are tons of examples I could have picked of this. I've just picked one of each to look at quickly. Okay? Psalm 106, verse 1. Notice what it says. Praise ye the Lord. O give what? Thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Now, you see there that you have the word thanks in that verse, but before it you have the word what? Give. So to give thanks is an active expression of gratitude is the idea here. Okay? So it is an action. It is something that is done by the person that is, sensing or feeling gratitude, if you will. Come over to Daniel 6. Come over to Daniel chapter 6. Come over to Daniel chapter 6 and look with me at verse 10. Daniel 6, verse 10. Daniel 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and what? Prayed and gave what? Thanks before his God as he did what? Aforetime. So there you see thanks with the word gave, meaning that he already what? Yeah, if I say give thanks, I'm telling you to do what? If I say I gave thanks, I'm saying that I already what? I already did it. Okay? So Daniel gave thanks here. Look at Mark chapter 14. Come to Mark chapter 14. Another past tense way the Scripture explains it. Look at Mark chapter 14. Look at verse 23. Mark chapter 14, verse 23. It says, and he took the cup, and when he had what? Given thanks. So there you see it again. It's referring to, again, so if Jesus had given thanks, then that means that he in some way, as an expression of gratitude, thanked who? Thanked the Lord. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Another way you'll find it used in the Scripture is in the present tense of giving thanks. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14, look at verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues... Hang on a minute. It's not the verse I wanted. What? Look at 16. Else, when thou shalt be blessed with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room that is unlettered say amen, and thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou what? Notice, we're not going to get bogged down here and talking about tongues. That's not the point. I'm just looking at this word here. Notice that you see the word thanks, though, with the words before it, giving of thanks. So if I'm giving thanks, that means I am actively doing what? Okay? So we have just the word thanks. We have the expression give thanks. We have the expression gave thanks. Had given thanks. Here we see giving thanks. Look at verse 17. For thou, whilst thou givest what? Thanks. So there it is again in a present tense construction. And lastly, come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 here. Look at verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 11. Notice what it says here. You also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by means of many persons, thanks may be what? Given by many on our behalf. Now, the reason I'm doing this is you need to understand the different uses of the word. Okay? The Scriptures talk about it. It starts just with the word thank. Then it talks about thanks. And when it discusses thanks, it talks about giving thanks, that He gave thanks, to just simply give thanks. And so you have different constructs for past, present, and future tense as far as understanding that you can just give thanks in a general sense. You could have gave thanks or given thanks. You could be in the process of giving what? Thanks. So thanks then is something that needs to be given as an expression of the feeling of what? Gratitude. Okay? So understand, gratitude is that thing that is kindled within you when somebody does something for you. As an expression of that which is kindled within you, that gratitude, you offer what? Thanks as a result. Now, let's look at a few more words here. Thankful. Now, that's pretty obvious in a sense what that means. If somebody is thankful, they are full of what? Thanks. Okay? This word only occurs 3 times in 3 verses in the King James Bible. If you look it up, it denotes one... I'm sorry, thanked. You know what, or some of you are looking at me like I'm crazy. I got ahead of myself in my notes. I'm talking about thanked right now, okay? Thanked occurs 3 times in 3 verses in the King James Bible, okay? Now, thanked. If I say, so-and-so thanked me, what am I saying? What am I saying? I'm saying that. It denotes the one who receives expressions of gratitude from another. Okay? So if you do something for somebody and they have thanked you, they have acknowledged that what you did for them has produced gratitude and given you the appropriate expression of having said what? Thanks or thank you for it. And that word then would be the idea of having been thanked. Okay? So again, the idea of thank, having received expression of gratitude. If somebody does something nice for you, it's that reception idea. Come to Acts 28. Come over to Acts 28. Acts chapter 28. Look at verse 15. Acts chapter 28. Verse 15. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Apene, Forum, and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he what? Thanked who? Okay, so folks, you have all these words in the Scripture. Thank, thanks, thanked. They're all different words describing different aspects of the concept of thanksgiving or of gratitude. Okay? Come with me, if you would, to Romans 6. Come over to Romans 6. Look at verse 17. Romans chapter 6, verse 17. Same idea, slightly different way of wording it, but it's the same exact concept. Romans chapter 6, look at verse 17. It says, but God be what? Thanked. Okay? So there you see that use of it, and it denotes the one who receives expressions of gratitude. So if Paul is saying, God be thanked, who's he thanking? God. Okay? So you have that usage. Now, I got ahead of myself. The next one that we need to look at is thankful. And as I already said to you, if someone is thankful, it generally means they're full of what? They're full of thanks. The word thankful also occurs 3 times in 3 verses in the King James Bible. And if you look this word up in the dictionary, it means grateful, impressed with a sense of kindness received, and ready to acknowledge it. And the definition, the scripture that they give is the Lord's Supper is celebrated with a thankful remembrance of His sufferings and death. Okay? So if somebody is thankful, they are grateful and impressed with a sense of the kindness that they have received. Come over to Romans chapter 1. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Notice what it says. Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were what? So here you have, we'll talk about these people here later. Here you have some people that are not what? Thankful. Okay? They're not grateful. They're not impressed with a sense of kindness of God Almighty. They are neither were they thankful, which would be obviously the opposite. Let's look at it in the positive sense. Come over to Colossians 3. Go over to Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 15. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Paul says here, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye what? See, Paul instructs believers. Paul instructs us as members of the church, the body of Christ, to be in a state of thankfulness. To be full of thanks, okay? To be full of gratitude, to be in a constant state of, as we get to the next word, thankfulness. So, thankfulness would obviously be used to describe one that is in a state of being full of what? Thanks. The word thankfulness occurs one time in one verse in the King James Bible. And again, it has the idea of expression of gratitude, acknowledgement of a favor, gratitude, a lively sense of good received. The best way for me to describe that to you is that's almost like a state of mind. Okay? To be living with thankfulness is to have that with you as a living reality. Come over to Acts 24, look at verse 3 for this one. Now look, folks, the whole series is not just going to be a word study on these things, but we have to do this, in my opinion, to set things up for where we're going to go. You got to understand what the Word of God says about these things in a general sense before we can begin making specific application, because I believe there are significant and meaningful things that we need to gather from this study by the time that we are through with it. Acts 24, look at verse 3. We accept it always in all places, most noble Felix, with all what? Thankfulness. Okay, so there that word is. Then we come to the word thanksgiving. Thanksgiving occurs 28 times in 27 verses in the King James Bible. And the definition here, according to the dictionary, is rendering thanks for good received. The act of rendering thanks or expressing gratitude for favors or mercies or good. So to give thanksgiving, again, it has the idea here of being in the active phase of thanking somebody for what it says here, expressing that gratitude for favors or mercies or good. Now, think about what Paul is telling us where we started this particular study. He says, in everything, give what? Thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning who? You. He says, when you pray in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, to pray all... I almost got the verse wrong. He talks about in everything, with prayer and supplication, with what? Thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto who? So the idea, with thanksgiving, that is the active sense of giving thanks. Okay? And he says that we are to, in everything, give what? Thanks. So this is a significant thing here. Come over to Psalm 26. Come back with me to Psalm 26. Look at a few verses about thanksgiving. Psalm 26, Psalm 26, look at verse 7. Notice what it says. That I may publish with the voice of what? What does it mean to publish? It means to declare. It means to extol. It means to praise. And he says in verse 7, that I may publish with the voice of the thanksgiving and tell of thy wonderful what? Works. Come over to Isaiah 51. Look at Isaiah 51, look at verse 3. Isaiah 51, look at verse 3. Isaiah 51, verse 3. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. And He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy, now watch this, joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of what? Melody. What does He call thanksgiving there? Do you recall verses in Ephesians and Colossians where Paul's talking about what it means to be filled with the Spirit, what it means to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, and he's talking about singing unto the Lord in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart unto who? The Lord. One of the things that is a melody to the Lord is thanksgiving. Okay? It is a sweet smell, a sweet sound to the ears of the Lord. We'll look at this later on, but you go back to Israel's program back there in time past in the Old Testament, living under the law, and you know that He required them to give Him a thank offering? Okay? So when the Lord hears the prayers and thanksgivings of the saints, I think what Isaiah 51 verse 3 is telling us is that it is to the Lord as the voice of what? Melody. It's pleasing unto the Lord. Thank God, because I can't make melody myself, okay, as a singer. So when you have this heart of thanksgiving here, this is the way the Lord receives it. Come over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's look at one Pauline occurrence here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now remember, folks, all we're doing here, the point of this exercise is not to exhaustively look at every one of these, but to look at enough of them here this morning that you can get a working understanding of how the Scripture is using the words here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the what? The thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of who? God. Do you know, read that verse again. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant, what? Grace might through what? Thanksgiving redound. See, again, it magnifies. You and I giving thanksgiving to the Lord magnifies the grace of God, is the point. Okay? So the idea of thanksgiving, it should be as constant and with us as often as the issue of prayer itself. You could make the argument based on the verses that they should both be done without ceasing, because when we are told and instructed to pray, we are told to make requests and supplication with thanksgiving. Okay? And then there's another word, interestingly, thankworthy. Thankworthy. This word only occurs one time. Come to 1 Peter chapter 2. Come over to 1 Peter chapter 2. And to me, it's pretty self-explanatory. If something is thankworthy, it obviously means that it's worthy of what? Thanks. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. It says, "For this is thankworthy, if a man for good conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully." Now again, the point here is not to study the whole passage about this, but just to point out the fact that the Word of God uses the word thankworthy. What I think about when I think about that word, come back to Philippians chapter 4. If something is thankworthy, By definition, it means it's worthy of what? Thanks. And if it's worthy of thanks, thinking back to our previous study on the battlefield of the mind, then that must mean that it is good, acceptable, and so on. Look at verse 8. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on what? These things. If something is thankworthy, do you think it fits the parameters of that verse for you to think about? Absolutely it does. Because if it wasn't, if it didn't, it wouldn't be worthy of what? Thanks. So this issue of thanksgiving is definitely related to what we were talking about in our most recent series of studies before this one. And then we have the word unthankful. The word unthankful occurs two times in two verses in the King James Bible, and it means not thankful. It means ungrateful. Not making acknowledgments for good received. Now, this is where things certainly begin to get a bit more interesting. Come with me, if you would, to Luke 6. Come over to Luke chapter 6. Let's look at Luke chapter 6, verse 35. Luke 6, verse 35. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. Now watch this. For He is kind unto who? The unthankful, and to who? Interesting. The Lord, that verse says that God is kind to the unthankful and to the who? Folks, that verse is connecting the idea of being unthankful with the idea of being what? Evil. When the Lord God Almighty looks at unthankfulness from heaven, and He sees unthankfulness, does He view unthankfulness as a positive thing or as a negative evil thing? Thank you. Okay. Negative evil. It's not a good thing in the Scripture to be classified as being what? Unthankful. Come with me to 2 Timothy. Come over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. What's the next one? Unthankful. Unthankful. Now we're going to come back to that in a minute. Okay. So what have we seen here? Let's just recap our list so far. We started with the word thank, singular. Okay. Then we saw thanks. Thanked. Thankful, thankfulness, thanksgiving, thankworthy, unthankful. Okay? Please note, folks, and I did this and I didn't tell you about it, because I wanted you to hopefully pick up on it. Please note the connection in these verses between the lack of thankfulness, gratitude, and evil in the verses that we just read. Okay? Webster's 1828 dictionary defines the state of unthankfulness. Now I want to just wait before you read the rest of that, okay? If thankfulness is the state of being full of thanks, then unthankfulness would be the state of being what? Full of nothing, right? Full of no thanks or without thanks at all. If you look up the word unthankfulness in the dictionary, this is what it means. And I want you to think about this for a minute. It says neglect or omission of acknowledgement for good received. Okay? Want of a sense of kindness or benefits. Ingratitude is part of the definition. But the second sentence says immoderate favors. Now, I looked up the word immoderate. Immoderate means beyond expectation. Okay? I was not expecting to receive candy. But I did. Okay? Immoderate favors breed first what? Thankfulness, and afterwards, hate. Folks, that's a strong definition. That means that someone that is unthankful is by definition also somebody that could be considered what? Hateful. Somebody that is unwilling to recognize and have gratitude about favor or kindness received is by definition is in a state of unthankfulness, and by definition is also in danger of being considered what? Hateful. By the way, all this stuff here, look at the definition here. Look at the definition of the word. Again, neglect or omission of acknowledgement or good received, want of a sense of kindness or benefits, ingratitude. Folks, what does the word grace mean? Doesn't grace mean unearned favor and what? Kindness from God? How are you saved? Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are we what? See, folks, anybody that is saved by the grace of God ought to have coming from the grace of God as a living reality in their life, thankfulness and thanksgiving toward who? Toward God Almighty, for giving them something for which they do not deserve, that they could not earn, and that is justification and a right standing with God Almighty. Somebody that is unthankful is also, by definition of the word unthankful, in danger of becoming what? Hateful. A couple years ago, I was made aware of a situation where, not going to say who it is or whatever, but the situation was that somebody was upset during the Thanksgiving holiday season, and an individual of importance went to this individual and they said, "What's the matter with you? What's wrong? What's going on?" And he says to his wife, "I have nothing to be grateful for." He says that to his wife in front of her face. Is that unthankfulness? How in the world, unless you are completely jaded and callous, how do you say something like that without it stemming from a heart of hatefulness? What I'm trying to get you to see here is that in the Word of God, the reason thanksgiving is so important is because the unthankfulness is a major problem, as we'll see in a minute. Okay? And the unthankfulness is systematic of a true heart problem and condition within an individual that is stemming from ingratitude, and if ingratitude is allowed to fester and go long enough, it will turn into what? Hate. Now, I want you to think about a few things, okay? These got out of order, so you'll have to apologize. I'll have to apologize and go to this one first. Throughout this study this morning, I have bolded a key synonym for thank in each one of the definitions. Anybody pick up on what it was? Gratitude. Okay? And it's related to scriptures in each definition. The word is gratitude. For the sake of completeness, we need to define gratitude and its related descriptors. In every definition I gave you of every one of those different constructions of the word thank, the word gratitude appeared in every one of those. So for the sake of completeness, we need to look at the issue of what does the word gratitude mean. Gratitude is an emotion. I want you to just think about this definition. An emotion of the heart, excited by a favor or benefit received, a sentiment of kindness or goodwill towards a benefactor, thankfulness. That's the first definition. Gratitude is an agreeable emotion consisting in or accompanied with good to a benefactor, a disposition to make a suitable return of benefits or services, or when no return can be made, with a desire to see the benefactor prosperous and what? Happy. Gratitude is a virtue of the highest excellence, and as it implies a feeling of and a generous heart and a prosperous sense of duty. If somebody is grateful, if somebody has gratitude, they are expressing a high level virtue the Word of God. Just put it that way, okay? To function with gratitude means that you have all of the characteristics that the definition implies. And one of the ways you define the word gratitude is with the word thankfulness. Okay? Ingratitude. Ingratitude is a want of gratitude or sentiments of kindness for favors received. Insensibility to favors and want of a disposition to repay them. Unthankfulness. Here it is. Retribution of evil for good. Where does ingratitude lead? Ingratitude leads to the repaying of somebody's kindness and goodness to you with what? Evil. Now think about the word unthankful. The word unthankfulness, we just said that if that is allowed to go unchecked, that ingratitude that is consistent with unthankfulness will eventually lead to what? Hate. Right? Now in our defining of the word ingratitude, the dictionary is telling us that it's fundamentally a state of unthankfulness and that it also is dealing with the retribution of good with what? Evil. If you do something nice for me and I repay your kindness by bestowing evil upon you, am I by definition an evil person? Now I got to go back because I got messed up a little bit. Ungrateful. Ungrateful means not grateful. Imagine that. Not feeling thankful for favors. Not making returns or making ill returns for kindness. Making no returns for culture as an ungrateful soil. It's talking about agricultural sense. But listen to this. Unpleasing, unacceptable, harsh sounds are ungrateful to the ear. You ever heard somebody manifesting their ungratefulness? To hear the bitterness, the anger, the resentment that comes forth out of them as they manifest their ungratefulness. For somebody to look at his wife and say, I don't have anything to be thankful for, is a pretty ungrateful person. Ungratefulness. If unthankfulness is the state of being what? Unthankful. Then ungratefulness would be the state of being on what? Ungrateful. Ungratefulness is defined as ingratitude, want of due feelings of kindness or favors received, ill return for good, disagreeableness, unpleasing quality. Now I'm sure as I'm reading these definitions, you are thinking of people that you know. Maybe you're not. But people come into your mind. of people that you know that you would say they're ungrateful, they're thankful, or what have you. I want you to, as we're going through this, I want you to try to just think about how these things apply to you as an individual. Okay? Now, to conclude this, I want you to get the two passages. I want you to get Luke 6 again. You may already have them. Luke 6 first. Luke chapter 6, verse 35, again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be children of the highest, for He is kind unto who? The unthankful and to the evil. Again, folks, notice the connection here between unthankfulness, ingratitude, and what? Somebody who is by definition, now think about how we define the words, somebody that is by definition unthankful is also ungrateful and has no gratitude. And if that state of ungratitude and ingratitude, I should say, is allowed to continue long enough, it will turn into what? Hate. And what does the Word of God say about hate? Is hate evil? Yes. So the connection is clearly made in the Word of God between the person that is evil and the person that is what? Ungrateful. Unthankful. Okay? Come with me to 2 Timothy 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall what? Hey, when Paul looks out on the horizon at the last days of the church, the body of Christ, and he writes to Timothy here at the end of his life, his last epistle, 2 Timothy, and he's writing to Timothy and he says, listen, Timothy, here's what you're going to expect. What's going to come upon the church is perilous what? Times. And how are these perilous times going to be characterized? Verse 2. For men shall be. Why are they going to be perilous times? For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such do what? Turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of what? Folks, the person that's described in verse 2 through 7 there, are they a good person or evil? What's included in that list that characterizes these folks that are going to be, that are going to signify the onset of these perilous times? It says in verse 2, it says that they are what? Unthankful. Folks, I'm just going to say this at the end of this study, and I'll prove it to you next week. The seedbed for sin is unthankfulness. The seedbed for sin is unthankfulness. We're going to go there. Don't turn there now because I'm trying to close this down. But Romans chapter 1. But when they knew God, they glorified Him what? Not as God, neither were what? Thankful. But became vain in their what? Imagination, and their foolish heart was what? See, it all started and stemmed from a state of mankind being what? Unthankful. They're unthankful for what God did. They're unthankful for what God created. They're ungrateful for what God has done. And from their ungratitude, and from their unthankfulness, and from their whatever, their ungratefulness, they become wise in their own conceits, and they go about crafting their own religion, their own systems, because they're ungrateful fundamentally for what God had already done for them. Ungratefulness. Unthankfulness is the seedbed of sin. And we'll talk about that next week. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. We're grateful for the saints that are gathered here this morning to hear Your Word preached. We pray that enough would have been said here this morning to prick the curiosity of the saints to hear more. Lord, we pray that we that are saved by the grace of God, by the grace of Christ, as we learned last week, would never be found in a state of being unthankful. Would never be found in a state of saying we have nothing to be grateful for, nothing to be thankful for. Because we know and we understand that our salvation was a gift of grace. It was unmerited. It was undeserved. It was the favor and kindness of God displayed upon us through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Requiring nothing of us solely to just believe that He died for our sin and rose again. That we who have understood these things would be gripped with the thanksgiving that should flow from that understanding. That if the worst should happen, we know that we have a home eternal in the heavens. A house not made with hands. And that all, each and every one of us as members of the church, the body of Christ, is secure and seated and sealed with Jesus Christ in the heavenly places. We have so much to be grateful for. And we pray that we would not be found in the company of those that are ungrateful. That are unthankful. We pray as we continue through this study in the coming weeks that we'll have clarity from Your Word. In Christ's name, Amen.